This is Audible.
Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Unfuck Your Habitat, You're Better Than Your Mess, by Rachel Hoffman. Narrated by Emily Wu Zeller. 1. Getting started. Nice ass. Now get off it. Who needs Unfuck Your Habitat? The Case for 2010s. Mental Health and Your Mess. The Perfectionist's Paradox. Nice ass. Now get off it. Tell me if this sounds familiar. You're flipping through home organization magazines, or browsing home improvement and decorating websites, thinking, this is it. I'm finally doing it. I'm going to get my house under control. You look at picture after glossy picture of perfectly organized spaces, with no visible clutter, clearly labeled storage solutions, and gleaming fresh paint, rooms with sunlight streaming in through the windows, and you think to yourself, are you fucking kidding me? Those pictures seem impossible. Hell, they are impossible if you own enough possessions to function in modern life. You don't live in a world that's being shown in those pictures. You live in the real world. A messy world that's full of dirty dishes, clothes languishing in laundry baskets, and a dining room table you haven't seen the surface of in months. You're not a slob. You just don't have the time, the money, the energy, or even the inclination to achieve what those pictures are showing you. You just want to get your home to the point where a drop-in guest doesn't send you into a tailspin of panic, and where you can live your everyday life without being disgusted or depressed by your surroundings. You know, somewhere deep down, that your home will never look anything like those pictures. And it's depressing, discouraging, and ultimately pretty damn frustrating. You may be looking at those magazines or websites and thinking that there's no hope for you, and no hope for your home. Your house is never going to look like that. You may be thinking that a clean, organized home is completely out of reach, and there's just no way for it to get better than whatever state of mess it's in right now. You feel trapped by the state of your home, and powerless to do anything about it. Well, good news! You're wrong. There's a universe of difference between a picture-perfect home that can be featured in magazines and a perfectly functional and livable home that you aren't ashamed of or stressed out by. An Unfuck Your Habitat can teach you how to have a home you love and feel comfortable in, while helping you realize that your home doesn't need to look like the ones in those pictures in order for you to love living in it. You deserve better than to live in filth, and with just a little bit of effort and practice, you can easily master the skills and habits you need in order to get and keep your home livable. It's going to take some time, and nothing gets better overnight. But it will get better. Other housekeeping and organizing systems have a specific kind of person in mind. They assume that everyone is married with kids, with one spouse at home with a lot of time to devote to housekeeping. They tend to ignore single people, or people without kids, or students, or people with pets, or people with roommates, or people with full-time jobs or classes or other shit going on. They ignore people with physical or mental illnesses or other limitations that don't allow for complicated, involved housekeeping on an inflexible schedule. They forget about people who live in apartments, or rented rooms, or a small space in someone else's home. They forget that people live at home with their parents, or in dorm rooms with total strangers. They forget that not everyone fits into a narrow mold of circumstance and ability. And they forget that sometimes you just don't feel like it. Basically, they ignore a whole lot of people who live in the real world. Since so few of us fit the mold of these traditional housekeeping systems, it doesn't make sense to try to follow those methods and expect them to lead us to success. A picture-perfect showroom home is admirable, but let's be honest, that's not going to be a reality for most of us. And that's okay! So the first step in turning our messes into something we can happily live with is realizing that it's time to rethink the way we approach housekeeping and organizing, and how they fit into the lives we actually live. In this book, you'll learn how to incorporate cleaning and organizing into a busy life. and how to work with all of the various fun things life throws at you that have kept you from doing this up to now. You'll learn that rather than being intimidated by what you think other people's homes look like, you can get to a point where you're happy and comfortable with what your own home can be. You'll realize that the real world rarely, if ever, lines up with what aspirational magazines and websites are showing you. It's not as intimidating as it seems, but I'm willing to bet no one's ever broken it down into a system that works in your world, and so it's easier just to write it off as completely impossible, and then never even get started. And that's why you are where you are right now. Overwhelmed, discouraged, feeling like a failure, and hating your home. We should probably start by accepting the fact that, for the most part, cleaning your house kind of sucks. Sorry, but it does. Getting and keeping your house clean and organized isn't necessarily difficult, but it's rarely fun. And we all have other things we'd rather be doing. If given a choice, very few people would choose to spend their time cleaning or organizing their home. It seems like a giant time investment, during which your life is totally devoid of fun and sunshine and anything else you like. But there's no reason tidying up your home has to take up all of your precious spare time. It can be accomplished just a little bit at a time, in between the far more enjoyable and important things that happen in your life. It's critical to realize that you aren't beyond hope. You can always improve your living situation, but you need to do some work to get there. We're often busy, and sometimes we're lazy. No need to sugarcoat that. But wouldn't it be nice to walk into your house at the end of a busy day and not feel depressed or disgusted or dejected? There are very few people who enjoy cleaning on a regular basis, and frankly, I'm a little suspicious of those people anyway. So let's just accept that it's not necessarily going to be the most interesting or fulfilling part of your day, and move on to actually getting it done so that you can finally do the things you want to do in a home that you don't hate spending time in. Once you've acquired the tools you need to keep your house from devolving into a total shithole while still managing to do the things you enjoy, you'll develop a habit of keeping your living space nice without it taking over your life. You'll find that you can maintain a home that doesn't stress you out or embarrass you, and you can accomplish that in only a few minutes a day. You'll be able to have people over if you want to. You won't panic over unannounced guests. The important thing to remember is that there is nothing that can't be unfucked with a little bit of effort and motivation. You just have to do it. You have to overcome the compulsion to sit on the couch and mess around on the computer or watch TV, and get up and do something. Anything. If you have the motivation but lack the ability, you have to figure out how to work with or around any limitations that have prevented you from doing this in the past. Unfuck Your Habitat, or UFYH, is all about helping you do just that. It's about lighting a gentle fire under our asses and reminding ourselves that we deserve a home we can be comfortable in and proud of. It's about acquiring the skills we lack and applying those skills in our everyday lives in a way that results in improvement without burnout. It's about celebrating every success, no matter how small it might seem at the time. Because when we accomplish something, especially something that seemed impossible, it feels pretty awesome. Who needs Unfuck Your Habitat? So many different kinds of people have been failed by traditional housekeeping and organizational systems. In fact, I'd be willing to bet that close to an entire generation has entered adulthood without the skills needed to keep a clean and organized home, skills that previous generations took for granted. Whereas in the stereotypical nuclear family of the past, one of the parents, usually the mother, would teach housekeeping skills to the next generation, usually the daughters. The realities of life today don't make this a feasible, realistic, or desirable scenario. The definition of family is evolving all the time, but that archaic mindset regarding housekeeping roles hasn't changed much at all. As a result, many domestic skills have fallen by the wayside due to lack of time, shifting priorities, or inadequate tools. As we move past traditional roles within the home into structures that better fit how we actually live our lives, We also need to adapt our methods for keeping our homes running smoothly. As a society, we haven't yet caught up to that reality. So we've lost a whole lot of our ability to get the job done while we've been looking around wondering whose job it is. Traditional housekeeping systems attempt to make people's lives fit into a rigid structure of routines and schedules for cleaning and maintaining the house. And that doesn't make any sense at all for a lot of people. Doesn't it make more sense to fit your cleaning routines around your life instead? Today, it's critical to incorporate flexible routines that work with your life instead of against it. Otherwise, nothing will ever get done. Trying to use a housekeeping system that was developed for someone with a very different lifestyle is a little like wearing shoes that are two sizes too small. It's uncomfortable, it's awkward, and pretty soon you're going to get frustrated and give up entirely, left feeling much worse than when you started. So maybe it's time to try something completely different. Something that was designed to work for people who are failed by other systems, and that recognizes that you have a whole lot of other shit going on. So, who needs Unfuck Your Habitat? Everyone, regardless of gender. With all the different living situations that we enjoy today, assigning housekeeping tasks based on archaic and outdated gender roles just doesn't make sense. Traditional standards of who should be doing the cleaning don't apply to how people live their lives nowadays, and haven't for quite some time. Households are made up of every combination of gender, age, and relationship. If you live somewhere, you deserve for that place to be nice and clean and livable. And you should be the one who makes it that way. If several people are responsible for making the mess, each of those people is responsible for getting it clean and under control. It doesn't matter who you are or what box or boxes you check. Gender roles as they relate to cleaning are bullshit, and just offer a handy excuse for half the population to be lazy and the other half to feel guilty. Busy people. We're all busy. Very busy, in fact. Almost all of us have stuff going on that takes up a vast majority of our time, whether it's work, school, family obligations, or anything else. It doesn't make sense for us to follow a bunch of steps that were developed for people who have hours each day to devote to cleaning and organizing their home. Who actually has that? No one I know. Even the people I know who are home all day, whether they work at home or are stay-at-home parents, don't have time for the type of strict structure outlined by traditional systems, because they're busy doing the million little things necessary for keeping the rest of their lives running smoothly. To be honest, cleaning and organizing the house falls so far down on the list of things to do that it often falls off that list entirely. We haven't adapted how we look at housekeeping to reflect how we really live our lives, and that's why so many of us feel like we're failing at it. With UFYH, you'll learn how to change the way cleaning and other home-related tasks fit into your life, and be able to adapt and adjust to whatever life throws at you at any given time. People too broke to have a full-time maid. So, you. One of the other things that most organizational and cleaning systems have in common is that they tend to require a significant investment, either of money or of time. And if you're like most other people these days, you don't exactly have a surplus of either one. Any free time or extra money is almost immediately earmarked for something else, something that's more important or possibly more fun. So you may find yourself wondering if it's even possible to get your shit under control if you can't spend a ton of money or every waking moment dealing with your mess, because everything you're hearing sure makes it seem like it's not. It is possible, and UFYH will show you how. There's no reason that getting your home in order should drain your bank account or your energy reserves. Anyone with physical or mental illnesses or disabilities. Many people come to UFYH because they can't find a place for themselves in the expectations of other systems. For example, people with mental or physical illnesses or limitations often find that massive cleaning sessions or inflexible schedules involving intense bursts of work just aren't physically possible. It's not about being lazy. It's about not being able to accomplish what ends up being a bunch of impossible tasks because of factors that are entirely beyond your control. The underlying assumption about people's ability to do housework seems to be that everyone is able-bodied with plenty of energy to spare. That assumption can be pretty damaging, because everyone who doesn't fit into that tiny little box simply gets left behind. UFYH realizes that not everyone fits this mold, and will help show you how to work within or around whatever your limitations may be. People on their own for the first time. Young adults in their first living situation away from their parents, whether that's a dorm, apartment, or shared housing of any kind, often find themselves at a loss as far as what to do, how to do it, and when it should be done when it comes to housework. And if you grew up in an environment where you didn't learn these skills, either because your parents weren't good at keeping a house, or because they did it all for you and never made you learn, being out on your own can be a bit of a startling wake-up call. There's nothing inherently wrong with not knowing what to do around the house, but the skills needed have to be learned at some point. And the longer you wait, the more difficult it can be. Lazy people. Then there are some of us who actually are lazy. And that's totally fine. We all have a lot going on in our lives, and when faced with a little bit of downtime, it's totally understandable that the last thing you feel like doing is housework. I mean, doing the dishes takes a lot of energy, and it's not fun at all. So it's really no wonder that so many people choose to just succumb to the inclination to sit down and do nothing. The problem with this is that, well, house stuff needs to happen at some point. If you let it go forever because you just don't feel like it, your house is quickly going to become, and stay, a messy disaster. So while laziness is a completely understandable reason not to work on getting your home in order, you need to get past it for even just a short amount of time. And then you can go back to doing whatever it is you'd prefer to be doing, even if that happens to be nothing at all. Perfectionists. It seems counterintuitive, but some people who identify as perfectionists tend to have trouble keeping their home in order. Because it's so difficult to clean and organize everything thoroughly and perfectly all at once, perfectionists can get discouraged by what seems like a lack of results and just give up. Learning that progress is incremental and not necessarily flawless can be a huge step toward getting a messy house under control, a little bit at a time. There's no end to the reasons that people don't or can't clean their home, and there's no one type or category of person who needs help with housekeeping. Lots of people in lots of situations find themselves not up to the task of keeping their home in order. Whether that's due to a shortage of time, a lack of skills, physical limitations, or a loss of motivation, there is hope. With practice, focus, and, most important, a solid but flexible game plan, everyone can get their mess under control and transform their home from something they're embarrassed and stressed out by into something that's comfortable and calm. And about this gender role bullshit. As we've already discussed, there are a whole bunch of reasons why someone might not know what to do in order to keep a clean home. One of the reasons that's unfortunately all too common is that a lot of people still buy into the idea that cleaning a home and maintaining a household is women's work. Meaning, they think men are automatically off the hook for housework simply because they're men. A very common, but especially obnoxious, assertion is that men just don't see the mess the same way women do. This is an infuriating viewpoint that, unfortunately, lots and lots of people believe. Like, so many people. This tired old trope is meant to explain why men often don't do their fair share of housework, and why all of those domestic responsibilities generally fall to women. And it's complete bullshit. Everyone sees the mess. There's just a huge number of people who believe it's not a man's job to do anything about it. Before we dive too deep into a discussion of gender roles and expectations and how they all get wrapped up with household duties, there are a few things to keep in mind. First, it isn't true that men are bad at housekeeping and women are good at it. I can name dozens of examples from my own experience that contradict that. I'm sure you can, too. What we can say, however, is that we are at least somewhat socially conditioned to see those roles as the default, and anyone who doesn't fit into them as an exception to the rule. Also, we should remember that this mindset is fundamentally traditional and heteronormative and not 100% applicable in modern life. The typical nuclear family, mom, dad, and a couple of kids, is less and less common now, with families and households instead being made up in endless configurations that don't fall within those very stringent, very traditionally defined parameters. So when we challenge our perceptions of those gender roles, we also need to challenge how we define family and household and make some adjustments to accurately reflect reality. That said, the idea that men are not good at housekeeping is a really pervasive societal perception that has infiltrated almost every aspect of modern life. Advertising, TV shows, gender-directed media like magazines, and irritating social media memes all reinforce the fact that men just don't do housework. Or that if they try, they're hilariously inept at it and need a woman to set them straight and do it right. Or that a wife's or a mom's job is to keep the house clean, regardless of her job or responsibilities outside the home, even though she may have as many professional demands on her time as her male partner, if not more. Or that a bachelor's home is expected to be a disaster. That is, until his mom comes and cleans it up, or he finds a girlfriend to give his place a woman's touch. And every time we repeat these stereotypes or accept them as fact, we not only help advance these outdated gender norms and place an unearned burden on women, but we also demean and infantilize men by tacitly accepting that they just don't or can't do housework. Lots of men, especially those raised with more traditional upbringings like that nuclear family we were just talking about, see a mess, figure it'll get taken care of soon, and then cease thinking about it at all. Lots of women see the same mess, figure they'll need to take care of it soon, and start trying to figure out how to make that happen. See the difference? Women are conditioned to see dirt and messes as their responsibility to clean up, and men are conditioned to see dirt and messes in a way that requires no further action on their part. It's the interpretation of what they're seeing, not whether they actually see it. So it's not accurate to say that men don't see the mess. It's bullshit. It's what happens after the mess is observed that matters. Is it our job to do something about that mess? Or are we just passively observing it with the expectation that someone else is going to take care of it? Once again, I'm not saying that men are terrible at housework and women are good at it. That would be just as ridiculous as saying that men are incapable of seeing messes just because they're men. Tons of men are great at housework, and tons of women are terrible at it. And most people, regardless of gender, fall somewhere in between. Many households have an easy and equitable division of labor, unrestrained by gender roles, and they're doing just fine. Gender-based housework is clearly, then, not any kind of biological imperative, but a social one. We each have our own natural tendencies, but those tendencies are influenced by everyday social cues and expectations. No one is born knowing how to do housework. We all have to learn it somehow. Some people learn it by being taught within their home by parents, siblings, or other family members at an early age. Other people figure it out on their own through trial and error when they first start living outside the family home. Still others teach themselves through reading, research, and observation, which also includes a fair amount of trial and error. The point is, there's no innate housekeeping gene that's only passed on to girls. Everyone has the same ability and capacity to learn these skills. And it's considerably easier to learn at a young age. By starting young, children grow up with the necessary habits for keeping a home clean and learn the basic skills that will help them keep their mess under control for the rest of their lives. So that's why, within the family home, it's so important to teach all children these skills, regardless of gender and age. Anyone who grows up with these skills is at an advantage over those of us who need to learn them later on, since kids tend to learn things with an ease that most of us adults don't possess. Not to mention that being brought up in a household where everyone is expected to carry their fair share goes a long way to normalizing the idea that housework is for everyone. In addition, there's no small amount of learned helplessness associated with gender roles in cleaning. Let's go back to those god-awful social media memes and eye-rollingly terrible TV commercials, poking fun at how men are just hopeless around the house. They don't know how to do laundry! Isn't that hilarious? No, it's not. All those dramatized examples of how they can't get their own children clean, fed, and dressed, and how the smallest routine task leads to catastrophe or slapstick comedy, and how a woman needs to swoop in and fix it, effortlessly, while chuckling about how endearing it all is, instead of fast-pitching a bottle of glass cleaner across the room in frustration and anger, which is a much more likely real-world reaction to that much obnoxious learned helplessness. Going hand-in-hand with learned helplessness is the concept of strategic incompetence. Picture being asked or expected to do something you really hate. For example, the dishes. So you kind of half-ass the job because you hate it, and the dishes don't really get all that clean. Then the person who asked you to do the dishes gets exasperated and ends up rewashing them and never asks you to do them again. Which is totally what you wanted in the first place, right? Well, that works out pretty well for you, but it's a shitty thing to do to the person who wants and needs you to do your part. It's not that you don't know how to or physically can't complete the task competently. You're being crappy at it so that you won't be expected to do it again. And that's not a great thing to do to someone. It's fundamentally selfish. Sometimes we have to do things we don't enjoy because it's a part of living in a home. And pretending to suck at something so you won't have to do it again is just rude. I mean, are we serious about teaching people to believe that if you do something terribly enough, you'll never be expected to do it again? I hope we all realize how absurd that is. When children are learning how to do things, we don't take one imperfect attempt as a failure and cease expecting them to acquire that skill forever. We expect them to keep trying until they get it right. This isn't a cycle that's only applicable to children. If you can't do something well, you keep doing it until you can. You use what resources you can find to get better at it. You don't just shrug it off with, "Oh well, I'm terrible at this and should therefore never be expected to try again." Come on! We're doing men, and anyone else who's new to acquiring these skills, an incredible disservice when we accept this as some kind of fact, letting it stand that we think they're somehow not capable of acquiring and perfecting new skills. Any discussion of gender roles, norms, and expectations invariably gets people's hackles up, making them feel attacked, stereotyped, or belittled. So it's very important to realize that all of this isn't necessarily the fault of any individual person, and it certainly doesn't apply across the board. Whether or not someone, or someone's family, significant other, or peer group, buys into or believes these gender stereotypes, the fact remains that they exist, and they're shoved down our throats and subconsciously embedded in our brains at every given opportunity. How many men get praised or acknowledged for doing things that women do thanklessly all the time? By giving the impression that it's remarkable when a man completes the basic tasks of domestic living, we're reinforcing the fact that we, as a society, think that this is unusual. That men should be congratulated for doing women's work. That women are lucky when their partner does half the domestic work. It's almost irrelevant if the people who are involved actually believe this, because society believes it. Why do we accept the idea that it's noteworthy when someone cleans up a mess they helped make? Silly, right? Since we don't live in the 50s anymore, thank goodness, these days women are just as likely to be working outside the home as men are. In the past, it may have been true that women spent less time and had fewer responsibilities outside the house, and that's why all of the domestic responsibilities fell to them. But it's not true anymore, and it hasn't been for quite some time. Yet we look at a man who works 40-plus hours a week at a high-pressure job, and a woman who works the same number of hours at a similarly stressful job, And we still expect that the woman is going to be the one who puts in all of the additional time to do the housework. We seriously need to step back and examine why that is. The circumstances that led to those expectations no longer exist, but the expectations themselves remain, and any deviation from them is still seen as unusual. Even knowing where all these assumptions stem from, there's no getting around the fact that we think of housework and most other domestic tasks as women's work. And it's plain to see, reinforced in hundreds of insidious ways, that as we regard domestic work as women's work, we devalue it in a way that says some uncomfortable things about not just how we view the importance of domestic work, but how we view the importance of the people who perform it. Traditionally, cleaning and cooking and all the other tasks that make up running a household are performed by women, not only in their own home, but also in the workplace. If I tell you to picture a housekeeper, I'm reasonably sure that whatever your mental picture is, it begins with a woman. And these jobs, unpaid in the home, are almost always low-wage, low-prestige jobs out in the workforce as well. And when we don't see a job as valuable, over time we also tend to think of it as easy or non-skilled, even though anyone who performs domestic work for a living or at home can tell you it's not easy at all. It's time for us to change the way we look at domestic work and the people who perform it. By seeing and acknowledging the amount of labor involved, we can start to realize that a more equal division of labor in our own homes is inherently fairer than expecting it all to fall under the umbrella of women's work. Domestic and emotional labor like house cleaning, child rearing, household management, bill paying, grocery shopping, etc., and the endless other tasks involved in running a household are labor, unpaid but critical to everyday life. These tasks are not the default responsibility of one gender or the other. Just as financial contributions and major household decisions are no longer granted solely to one family member just because of his role within the household. In an equitable home, housework is the responsibility of every person who lives there, unless all parties have agreed otherwise. It's well beyond time to expect everyone to contribute to the domestic aspects of their own household, to expect everyone to acquire the skills necessary to keep a home, and to stop expecting that all domestic responsibilities should automatically fall to one member of the household just because of gender. It's well beyond time to stop buying into this bullshit and to start making our households functional and happy, with all tasks divided up fairly. The Case for 2010s. Marathon cleaning and why it's a bad idea. When faced with a messy home, most people who aren't predisposed to be domestically competent tend to do the same thing. Wait for it to get to the point where you absolutely cannot stand to look at it for one more second, and then spend a day or two or three cleaning like a maniac until it's livable again. Then you wait for it to get to the worst point again and do the same thing a few weeks or months later, doing mostly nothing in between. This is what we call marathon cleaning, and it doesn't work. It just doesn't. Why not? Well, a few reasons. It's all or nothing. For a few days, you work your ass off and have a completely clean home, but then you do absolutely nothing for days or weeks or months. In the meantime, your home is getting progressively worse and worse until it hits the lowest point before you decide to do something about it again. Marathons can be unhealthy. Many people manifest anxiety or manic episodes with marathon cleaning. This isn't ideal, because you're only cleaning when you're not in a good headspace, and you begin to associate the act of cleaning with being sick or mentally distressed. When cleaning becomes a symptom or a result of your mental state, you tend to wrap it up in way too much emotion, and it becomes an activity fraught with negative associations. It's not sustainable. You can't use marathons as a way of maintaining a clean house if you're a busy person, because there's just not enough time to spend hours a day cleaning up the shit. And on the rare day that you do have that kind of time to spend, the odds of you spending it all cleaning are pretty slim. It's temporary. Your house is only clean for a few days at a time, at most. The rest of the time, you're living in mess or filth and not doing anything to improve it, because it hasn't gotten bad enough. You tend to focus on the very short period of time after everything is all cleaned up, and forget about the incrementally increasing disaster for the rest of the time. Marathons don't help you build habits. Things get really awful. You marathon, and then you wait for them to get bad again. In between, you aren't doing anything to help yourself sustain a clean environment. Doing a little bit at frequent intervals is a much more useful habit than spending hours cleaning everything with a really long time in between. I think it's safe to say that most people approach housekeeping with a marathon state of mind, and this is primarily why so many of our homes are complete messes. Why would you spend time cleaning your house if it's not completely terrible, right? Well, that's dangerous thinking right there. Because our goal is to not have a terrible house for the majority of the time. Our goal is to keep a relatively clean and livable house with a minimal amount of effort, both on a daily basis and for the big cleans. You know, when you find out that your landlord or parents or favorite movie star is dropping by for a visit. Ideally, you'll get to a place where those surprise visits will be easily dealt with in a very short amount of time, without any real stress or anxiety on your part. Hell, if everything goes right, someone could just ring your doorbell unannounced. Although, how rude, right? And you could have them in for a visit without the slightest hesitation or freakout. Does that sound impossible? If so, that's completely okay. Right now, your home is probably in a state of chaos that you can't picture digging out from under anytime soon. And that's fine. That's normal. That's why you're looking around for a better solution. Looking at the bigger picture of your home as a whole is almost always going to be overwhelming. And when you're overwhelmed, getting started seems like an impossible proposition. It seems even more impossible if you're approaching it with the mindset of marathon cleaning, because you see a big mess and assume it means a big cleanup that takes a lot of time and energy and will leave you exhausted and with no time left for anything else. When you look at a whole house mess, you're focusing entirely on the big picture. Everything is a disaster. It all needs to be done. Well, there's no rule saying it all needs to be done at the same time. In order to keep from feeling like the project is too big to handle, you need to step away from that big picture and turn a critical eye to small sections at a time. Small sections are far less terrifying to consider, and reordering your thinking so you can do one or two small areas and then stop will help you build the skills you need to get your home clean, and to keep it that way without driving yourself up a wall. Mini challenge. Take a picture of a flat space near you. Counter, desk, table, etc. This is your before picture of the space. Now move just 5 things off of that space and put them back where they belong. That's it. You're 1 step closer to your after already. What's a 2010? So how do you avoid marathon cleaning but still end up with a clean house? By breaking your tasks down into manageable chunks of time, which we call 2010s. A 2010 is 20 minutes of cleaning, followed by a 10-minute break. The break is not optional. Breaks are important for a number of reasons, mainly to show that you can stop when you need or want to, and also because they interrupt the part of your thought process that wants to turn a cleaning session into a marathon. So while you might still take several hours to accomplish a task or project, you're breaking it up into workable chunks that allow you to do other, more enjoyable things in between, so you don't get lost in and overwhelmed by your task. 2010s are the heart of the Unfuck Your Habitat system. Every household task can be broken down into 2010s. How many you need to do is determined by the size of the task. A large project may require many of them, broken up over several days' worth of work. One of the good things about 2010s is that you can decide how many you want to do at any given time. Had a long day at work and really don't feel like having to spend a lot of time maintaining your house? 1 or 2 2010s will keep things neater without driving you completely over the edge. Have a room that needs a total overhaul and have a few days to devote to it? You can do as many 20-10s in a row as you need in order to complete your task. 20 minutes is not a long time. It requires a minimum time investment on your part, but I can almost guarantee you'll be surprised with how much you can accomplish in such a short chunk of time. It's also much easier to convince yourself to get started when you know that there's an end in sight, and that it's not very far away. Marathon cleaning sessions, while satisfying, are exhausting, and make you never want to clean ever again. 20 minutes at a time, once or a few times a day, is a sustainable way of keeping your habitat unfucked. You can incorporate 20 minutes a day into the rest of your life without feeling like you're spending all of your limited and precious free time cleaning your damn house. When you look at your entire messy, disorganized house, it's intimidating as hell. Cleaning up seems like an impossible undertaking, and the thought of getting started can be paralyzing because there's rarely an end in sight. By only working in 20-minute increments, you train yourself to stop looking at the big picture and to break down what you have into small, manageable tasks. Reorganizing your thinking in this way is helpful because you don't see a huge, overwhelming challenge that would take days or weeks to accomplish. Instead, you see a series of smaller chunks of time that each has a definite beginning and a definite end, and can realistically be completed without making you feel like you're devoting every waking moment to cleaning. A great thing about 20-10s is that you can mess around with them until you find the timing that works best for you. If 20-10s don't feel quite right to you, maybe a 45-15 is more your speed. People with mobility or energy limitations who can't do 20 minutes at a time may find that a 5-15 works without being more than they can handle. Keep playing around with it until you find whatever work-break interval works for you. I'll refer to 20-10s throughout this book, but feel free to substitute whatever your preferred variation is. Remember, flexible and adaptable for your life. That's our goal. It's also likely that most tasks will take far less time than you may have thought. Often we'll put off doing something around the house because of how long we're assuming it'll take. Sometimes you'll find that something you've been dreading and avoiding can be completed in just one or two 20-10s. Even major projects rarely end up requiring the time investment that we assume. Mini-challenge. Let's give that flat surface from before just one 20-10. Starting now. When you're done with that, take a picture. This is your first aftershot. Congratulations! F that. Effort versus efficiency. The reason 20-10s are effective is that they provide noticeable results with a limited amount of effort. Marathon cleaning sessions are so terrible in part because you're expending so much energy for such an extended period of time that it feels like no matter what the results are, they're not worth the amount of effort you've put into them. With a 20-10, your effort is intentionally limited. With just 20 minutes of work, you're unlikely to wear yourself out before you start seeing results. Training yourself to be effective without a huge amount of effort can be difficult. We tend to think of success as directly proportional to the amount of effort we expend, so that unless we're working really, really hard, we think we're not accomplishing anything at all. After just one 20-minute cleaning session, though, you'll almost definitely have obvious improvement. Success! So it's clear that your effectiveness at getting your shit cleaned up isn't necessarily determined by the amount of effort you put in. It may not seem like 20 minutes will get you very far on a mountain of dishes, but I guarantee the effect will be noticeable. 20 minutes can be enough time to put away one or two whole loads of clean laundry, or to take a bathroom from horrifying to habitable. When facing a whole house clean, our brains will almost always go straight to thinking that we need to marathon it until everything is done, and most people's response to that is a resounding, F that. There's absolutely nothing appealing or motivating about marathon cleaning. It's overwhelming and exhausting just to think about, let alone actually do. Facing down just 20 minutes of work, though, is a lot easier. Having a predetermined endpoint to your effort really does quite a lot toward discouraging the F that response. You're far more likely to actually do the work when you know it's not going to completely wipe you out. And that's the beauty of the 2010s. You can do pretty much anything for just 20 minutes if you know that at the end of it, not only can you stop, but you get to take a break for the sole purpose of rewarding yourself for that 20 minutes of work. It's like the perfect combination of effort, effectiveness, and reward without being exhausted and frustrated at the end of it all. Win-win! Mental health and your mess. One reason some popular housekeeping systems fail is that they rarely take into account how real people live their lives. People living with physical disabilities, chronic illnesses, mental illnesses, or chronic pain often find that the steps laid out for them to get their messes under control are unrealistic. The underlying assumptions behind so many housekeeping systems tend to exclude anyone who isn't able-bodied and healthy in every way. But here in the real world, we have lots of shit going on, and it's necessary to acknowledge that and work with it, rather than ignore the day-to-day reality that so many people are living. It's all well and good for a book or website to set up detailed lists of what needs to get done when, but if you're not feeling up to it, those lists might as well tell you to strap rockets to your shoes and fly to the moon, because it's just not going to happen. There are days when you just won't be able to get out of bed, or when you're in too much pain to stand for more than a few minutes. Getting your house clean and keeping it that way when you're dealing with any of this stuff means you need to be able to work around all of the bullshit life is throwing in your way. It absolutely can be done. It's just difficult to find resources that tell you how. And looking at all these lists and pictures and meticulously organized spaces can be incredibly overwhelming and discouraging on the days when you're struggling just to brush your teeth. None of these suggestions take into account the actual circumstances of your life. So why bother? Why set yourself up for failure? Even looking at these schedules and lists can make you feel like a failure when you know you just can't do what they're asking of you. Rather than beating yourself up for not attaining impossible goals, doesn't it make more sense to give yourself goals that you have some chance in hell of being able to accomplish? Work with your life, not against it. Excuses versus reasons. One of the UFYH mantras is, "Excuses are boring." It's used as a preemptive defense against the never-ending number of flimsy excuses offered up for why someone can't do this task or that. Let's be honest, it's almost always about making the bed. And when you're living with a mental illness, physical disability, chronic illness, or chronic pain, you likely have an interesting and unhealthy relationship with the word excuses. So let's break that down before we go any further. So often, people who have physical limitations on what they can accomplish are told that those limitations are being used as excuses. The notion that people use very real conditions or circumstances simply as an excuse to not do housework is a little ridiculous and not just a little unfair. It's really important not to confuse excuses with reasons. Excuses are things that people use to justify not doing something because they don't want to do it. Reasons are how people explain not doing something because they aren't able to do it. See the difference? Saying you don't want to wash the dishes because they're just going to get dirty again later is an excuse. Saying that you can't stand up for more than a few consecutive minutes to wash dishes because you're having a pain flare-up is a reason. So when I say, excuses are boring, I'm really talking about those things you throw out there as justification because you just don't want to do whatever it is. I am absolutely not talking about valid, legitimate reasons that prevent you from doing things. But be sure you're being honest with yourself about which is which. When we start to recognize what's an excuse and what's a reason, maybe we can start to let go of some of the guilt and self-recrimination, to say nothing of the judgment imposed by others, that's associated with the difficulties so many people have doing housework because of disability or illness. So before letting yourself slip too far into negativity about your situation, take a moment to really think about why you aren't doing it, and whether it's due to factors that are largely beyond your control. If so, let go of lazy and excuses and not trying hard enough or any of the other negative things that can cross your mind or your lips when facing the reality of your home and your ability to deal with it. Cleanliness does not equal godliness. There's so much judgment and rhetoric wrapped up in how people view messy homes and the people who live in them. Everyone's quick to label people lazy or slobs, to wonder how they could live that way or why they just can't get their shit together and clean up. It's not always that simple. Messiness is not a moral failing. For some people, it's simply not possible to clean and organize an entire room from top to bottom in one day. It has nothing to do with their value as a person, and everything to do with the various things that they're working with in their lives. How often have you heard, "Cleanliness is next to godliness"? That seems a little extreme, doesn't it? Cleanliness? Not kindness or compassion? That's ridiculous, right? But the fact remains that so many people see someone who's messy and make all sorts of assumptions about that person, about their life, about their personality, about their ethics, even about their worth. We need to learn to separate the state of our homes from our feelings of worth. Having a clean home doesn't make you a better person. It just makes you a person with a clean home. Having a messy home, then, doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't mean you're lazy, or disgusting, or less of a human being than someone whose linen closet looks like a store display. All of this judgment surrounding cleaning can be completely counterproductive. The more we feel like we're bad or lesser people because of what our homes look like, the less likely we are to do anything about it. There's very little worse than feeling like nothing you do is going to be good enough. And when this moralizing gets attached to the cleanliness of our homes, we might feel like there's no point in trying to improve at all. There's no motivation to make any improvement if you feel like no matter what you do, you're still going to be criticized and looked down on. There's no sense in attempting any level of progress if you're being insulted and belittled, either generally or specifically, by people who assign negative personality characteristics without knowing the specifics of someone's situation. We should, as a whole, be better than that. And sometimes we just aren't. There are all sorts of reasons why someone might be messy, and laziness is only one of them. If you grew up in a messy house, you might never have learned how to clean. If you have a physical or mental illness or disability, you might physically not be able to clean your house from top to bottom. You might work two jobs and go to school and have no spare time to vacuum. Everyone's situation is different, and they're all valid. What's important to know, however, is that you totally can work with or around whatever's going on in your life. If you have no free time, well, 2010s are great. And if you can't manage that, a 5 the rest of the day can help more than you think, too. If you have physical limitations, there are ways to adapt your housework so that you can do it while taking care of yourself and your health. There's no need to let outside judgment limit what you can do in your own home. All those judgy, moralizing people have no idea what you're living with. So why the hell are you letting them make you feel like crap about your home? It's not about anyone else. It's about you. What you're living with. How you deal with it. How it affects your home. So let's explore some of the more common mental roadblocks to cleaning up, and some of the ways you can work with or around them to keep your home in order. Depression. Why are our minds and our messes so closely linked? One problem is that we tend to let our mess define us. When our home is messy, we see it as a reflection on our worth as a person. It's a really common way of thinking, but it's entirely bullshit. You're more than your mess. But even though our mess doesn't, or shouldn't, define us, it absolutely can affect us. When you're not in a great state of mind, a messy home can exacerbate that. Depression and a messy home are a self-perpetuating cycle that sometimes feels completely impossible to interrupt. More on this cycle a little later. Depression has a way of insinuating itself into every corner of your life, even the ones that seem like they shouldn't have anything to do with mental health. And your living environment is a big part of that. When you feel like crap, there's a good chance your home is going to reflect that. The trouble is, It can be close to impossible to dredge up the energy to tidy up when it's a battle to simply pick your head up off the pillow. When you're in the midst of a depressive episode, cleaning your house comes in on the list of things you want to do somewhere after taunting a hive of bees and tap dancing on live television. Everything is just awful. It's a struggle to walk to the bathroom. Making dinner seems more impossible than advanced calculus. Getting out of bed is a vague, distant dream that seems like it may never come true. Meanwhile, the mess gets worse and worse. It seems impossible that you're contributing to this, since that would require some sort of energy on your part. But the mess is getting worse, and not only can you not figure out how that's happening, you sure as hell can't figure out how to try to make it better, because of that whole no energy to spare to even think about it problem.